The journey is merely a relational journey, period. Yes, he brings blessing. Yes, he brings prosperity. He does all those things. But it's such an interesting journey because anyone who builds a relationship with God based on what they will get out of the relationship are actually pouring dirt into the cement, causing it to become so weakened that there's not a foundation big enough to hold any kind of significant structure. Verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." Jesus is trying to help him discover a revelation. Who he is. Can I put it in my own words? You're right, I'm good, but you need to know why. Nobody's good but God. You see, the decision he's about to make, he needs to understand who he's standing in front of. Because if he doesn't know who he's standing in front of, he may not be willing to pay the price that is needed for the challenge that God is about to bring into his life. Verse 20, it says, "You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." It's interesting. Come and follow me. There were 12 that were allowed to follow him. And Jesus was giving him access to be one that could follow him. I don't know that he'd be one of the 12, one of the 70. I don't know. He's just had an opportunity to come and follow Jesus. Here's what you need to see. Jesus never uses the reward of following him to entice someone to follow him. He doesn't use the promise of eternal life. This man is concerned about what? About wealth. Jesus easily could have said, "Listen, this is how it works. Seek me first, and all these things I will add to you." He never used the other parts of the story to get him to follow. Because if you follow for any other reason besides just simply following him to be with him, your foundation is fragile and you will falter in difficult times. Because the walk with the Lord has lots of reward and it has lots of price, lots of cost. And anyone who has a foundation of seeking so that I can obtain will falter. The second thing about this part of the story . If this man follows Jesus because of what will happen to him, that all these things will be added, then he will always measure his success in his walk with the Lord by external things. It will never be measured by the relationship itself. And our seasons are so dramatically different. Like Paul said, "I know how to abound. I know how to be in lack." And if we measure the season we're in by external conditions, we will come to the wrong conclusion. The journey is merely a relational journey, period. And in the journey, he adds all these things. Yes, he brings blessing. Yes, he brings prosperity. He does all those things. But it's such an interesting journey because anyone who builds a relationship with God based on what they will get out of the relationship are actually pouring dirt into the cement, causing it to become so weakened that there's not a foundation big enough to hold any kind of significant structure. And what the Lord is wanting from those who follow him is the simplicity and purity of devotion, where it's not because of the outcome. Now, I'm usually the guy that's talking about the outcome. I'm usually one that's talking about seek him first. All these things are added. He wants you to be significant, have impact in the course of history. All this stuff, the dreams fulfilled. This is who our Father is. But in this beginning of the journey, it's vital that we come with no attachments. I often will describe it this way. When we come to the Lord, the Bible describes it's a straight and narrow road. It's straight, so it's not complicated, but it is narrow. It's a narrow road to the kingdom. There's one place of entrance. It's Christ Jesus. And he is the entrance to a lifetime of communion and fellowship with the Father. There's only one way, straight and narrow road. Many believers, once they come into the kingdom, think it's still a straight and narrow road. And I don't want to describe or imply that once you're into the kingdom, you get to be careless, because that would be a misinterpretation. But in the kingdom, it is different than the entrance to the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, there are options that you didn't have out here. Outside the kingdom, as you approach the Father, there's no options. There's only one way. But in the kingdom, he says, pursue earnestly spiritual gifts. He doesn't tell you which ones, because there's options. We all have specific areas of life and ministry. We all carry a ministry of reconciliation. But all of us have unique expressions, and he doesn't try to buttonhole us, because there are options. There's uniqueness. You can be a vegetarian. You can be a meat eater. Thank you for the latter, Jesus. Thank you. No, but I'm serious. There are options. Paul actually talks about the honor that is supposed to exist for the person who differs. Why? Because in this kingdom, there's options. See, it's a broad road. It's built so that you can succeed. In this journey with the Lord, he tells this rich young ruler to sell everything. The guy's really depressed afterwards, verse 24, because he had a lot of stuff. Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That I've tried to picture that one since I was a child. Never been able to get one hair at a time through that eye of the needle. I guess it can be done, but it might take a couple days. The disciples heard Jesus' response. Just follow this now for a moment. The disciples heard the response. They said, then who then can be saved? Verse 26. Verse 28, Peter says, we left everything to follow you. In Mark's gospel, he explains this a little bit differently. He said, I will return to you 100 times as much as what you left to follow me. But I will return it to you with persecution. I'm glad he said with persecution, because it was going to come anyway. But I'm glad he said with persecution, because we would be tempted to put that kind of a promise off into eternity. We'd be tempted to put that into heaven. And he was saying, no, this is for now. I'm going to return to you 100 times what you gave up, but it's going to come with persecution. It's going to come, I'm going to increase the income, but I'm also increasing the tax, the income tax. See, it's the opposition, the criticism, the betrayal that keeps you honest. We want the increase of the anointing for the prophetic so that we can be more powerful. And he says, I want to give it to you, but the tax will increase. I want a greater anointing for breakthrough. Me too, but the tax will increase. Everything you laid down to follow him, he celebrates, and he will return it way beyond what you ever could have imagined. That's part of the deal. But Jesus never used that reality to get anyone to follow him.